This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Now I had to look it up. I always go down the old rabbit hole anytime I hit this kind of nerve with people. We're getting text messages left, right, and center here. Towers actually began as a New York-based chain. The first Canadian store was opened in 1960. In Scarborough. It was at the corner of Lawrence and Midland. The chain itself went bankrupt in 1963, but a group of Towers concessionaries all incorporated. They purchased all 13 Canadian stores that existed at the time, and they began operating as a Canadian-only chain. They were the type of store, and they later became Zellers. That's what a lot of people are writing in. But this was the type of store that had a restaurant in it. It had its own photo lab. It had its own pharmacy. Very similar to what a Walmart is now, but just on a different scale. And I always remember, very quickly, the Towers that I used to go to, it was at Dixie and Dundas, right by the Consumers Distributing, I believe. And it had one of those little booths you could go in and you could drop like a quarter and watch cartoons. Do you remember that when you were a kid?
Yes.
Like the little hut, right? You put a quarter and you watch Heckle and Jekyll. Yeah.
Yeah, like really old cartoons.
All right. So there you go.
By the way, the restaurant that ended up in Zellers ended up being called what? Do you remember?
I do not.
Skillet.
The skillet, that's right.
They always had a grilled cheese and fries special. That was like the one that you went by and it was like, why do you even have a chalkboard? The special never changes. It's always that.
They actually had a mascot named Sparky the Squirrel. And then later, Zellers, of course, had that annoying Zeddy thing. Never really took off.
Oh, the Zeddy years.
That's a long way of saying that the Liberal chair of the Parliamentary Health Committee is sponsoring an official petition to the House of Commons. It's based on the premise that cell phone towers and wireless technology actually pose a danger to your kids. But is that true? Let's find out. Tech expert Carmi Levy joins us to talk about it. Carmi, I apologize for you having to listen to us riff about defunct department stores, but hey, you know us by now.
I do, and I miss those old stores. They had a charm to them that just today's stores don't have. I wish I could go back in time sometimes.
So what is this this Liberal chair talking about here when it comes to cell phone towers and wireless technology? Is there a real link?
No, there isn't. And every piece of credible science and research that has already been done makes it abundantly clear that we are not even remotely close to there being a connection between exposure to 5G towers or 5G signal and any form of illness, including coronavirus, COVID-19. And so what we're seeing here is the chair of the Commons Standing Committee on Health, Ron McKinnon. He's proposing that a petition be carried forward that asks for more study on this. And it's based on a paper in 2014 that connected the risks of microwave radiation from wireless devices to the incidence of cancer. And this is an example of someone kind of cherry picking, sort of choosing one specific study, because that study has since been widely debunked by credible scientists around the world. And he's using this as, you know, saying the Trudeau government is committed to following evidence-based decision-making. We need to follow the data. Here is a study. Let's use this to continue the discussion, all at a time when people are burning 5G towers because they mistakenly believe that the government is plotting against them. It's the timing is wrong. The science is wrong. The story is wrong. And the fact that an MP, a chair of a common standing committee, is carrying this forward, I think, is just a national embarrassment.
Yeah, is this one of those things that just reeks of opportunity? I mean, you talk about a report that was debunked years ago, and you know, my question is, how does that even get brought up again? Is it because, you know, people just don't take the time, you know, in this sort of crisis that we're in to really, really look at things? Much like, you know, a political party can just sort of dump a bunch of stuff on you and then slide something in extra that you might not actually read?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because we are in a period where, you know, I think all of us are, of course, we're all more fearful than we normally are. We're especially vulnerable. And I think there's the pace of news has accelerated significantly. So it's fairly easy to slip things in without people noticing. It's also fairly easy for a politician to opportunistically, throw something in and sort of hope people don't notice. Until it's too late, and I think that's politically irresponsible, because you're violating the basic principles of science in order to score some political points, at a time when that's not what Canadians are looking for, and it doesn't advance the national dialogue. And in fact, all it does is it contributes to that ongoing misinformation that is resulting in towers being scorched. And in many cases, they're not even 5G towers. They're 3G and 4G towers that we all need now to stay in touch during lockdown. It's insane.
Yeah, you know, you make a great point. And this is the governing party, we might add. We're talking about a Liberal MP who's the chair of the Parliamentary Health Committee and sponsoring this petition. It gives it that kind of credence. It says, okay, there might be something more here. We may be looking at microwave radiating devices and them having an effect on kids and having an effect on adolescents, when, as you say, the truth is there's no evidence to support that. I wouldn't be shocked if the Prime Minister stepped in here and said, listen, what you're doing is downright dangerous. Let's not go down this road.
I would like to see Prime Minister Trudeau do exactly that. I'd like to see him use his daily podium with the nation to unequivocally come out, draw a line in the sand and say, we're not going to do this. Not now, not ever, because that's not the responsible Canadian thing to do. The truth of the matter is, if you look at it through a scientific lens, National Cancer Institute, Centers for Disease Control, World Health Institute, World Health Organization, have already weighed in on this. They've looked at all of the research that has been done, and they've made it very clear that 5G does not present, not even a major risk, any risk at all. And we've had this argument with every previous generation of wireless technology, 4G, 3G, 2G, microwave ovens, Wi-Fi. There will always be conspiracy theorists screaming from the top of the trees about connections to various things with no science to back it up, while the legitimate science has already been done and has already debunked this. Why we're still having this argument in 2020, I don't know. But social media certainly makes it a lot harder to stamp out those embers. It can spread misinformation just as easily as it can spread scientifically validated information.
We're talking with tech analyst Carmi Levy. This is a question from 71010. I think a lot of people have this question as well. Can you please ask Carmi what the difference is with 5G? I'm just curious. I can watch TV anywhere on my phone. How much more will we be able to do? I'm kind of indifferent. I'm just curious what the real difference is.
Sure. 5G is, of course, fifth generation wireless. It's the next generation of technology that will make our phones. It's almost like 4G, which is what we currently use. 4G on steroids. It's much faster. So obviously you can download things faster. But much more importantly than that, it connects and disconnects much more quickly. And what that means is it isn't really a place for your phone. So your phone will be marginally faster. You'll be able to watch videos in greater fidelity. The network will be more robust. But really, that sort of 5G's play is that it'll be much easier to build connectivity into everything else. So your car will be able to communicate with intelligent traffic lights and intelligent roads and intelligent traffic signs. And your clothes will have 5G built into them, so they'll be able to track your health very closely and then connect to health apps and maybe even share that information with your doctor so that they can track your health over time. So 5G isn't so much about downloading an app in 2 seconds instead of 10 seconds, but it's really about opening up an entire new generation of Internet of Things-based services where things that used to be dumb are now incredibly smart because 5G made them possible. That's the next generation.
Yeah, and that 5G technology does require far more small cell sites, which are smaller versions of those cell phone towers that we see.
Exactly. And nobody wants, we've had this argument with earlier generations of wireless technology. It's just NIMBY all over again. Nobody wants these things in their backyard. And of course, if we have to install more of them to support this 5G service across the country, well, they're going to be put in places that people don't necessarily like. And so, a national discussion is probably going to have to happen over where these things should be located and what the rules should be around them. But let's have it based on science. Let's not have it based on things where people just make things up and, express an opinion on social media and think that that qualifies as science. It isn't.
Yeah, it reminds me of when my grandfather used to say to me, if you sit too close to the TV, the rays may impact you. That was not a thing. This is not a thing. Carmi Levy, thank you so much.
Great being here, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Carmi Levy, one of our tech analysts that we speak to frequently on The Rush.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.